What is God's purpose for marriage? How should we respond when traditional marriage is openly mocked as irrelevant? The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March is titled Your Marriage by God's Design. It's written by Issues, Etc. regular guests Scott and Julie Stiegemeier. You can find out more about Your Marriage by God's Design at issuesetc.org, or you can call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Your Marriage by God's Design, the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month.
It's very frustrating that the media put this out as you can basically not have religious liberty or you are an anti-gay bigot.
The Christian husband learns what it is to be a husband who loves his wife as Christ loved the church by experiencing how he is not like Christ.
What you see the president of Planned Parenthood doing here is confusing the empirical question, what is the unborn and when does life begin, with her own philosophical worldview.
What could possibly be so important that you would stake all eternity on it? What can give you that kind of courage and conviction? There's only one thing that does that. It is the truth of God's word.
In the last half hour of Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon, March the 7th, we'll be playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. A little taste of the soundbites right there that you will hear in the last half hour. And then all you got to do is give us a call, send us an email, a tweet, or go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, and vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Your opportunity in that last half hour to win the LPR bundle package. That's an I Have Issues t-shirt, an Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, mouse pad, and notepad. Goes to one of those who votes for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. I know how it works. I think most people can figure out how it works if, say, a layperson, a member of a Baptist congregation, starts to study Lutheran theology, and he says, you know, I think I really believe what Lutherans believe. He goes to a Lutheran church. He talks to the pastor. Generally, there's some extensive instruction, and then he's welcomed as a member. But what if that someone is a pastor, and he doesn't simply want to join a Lutheran congregation? He wants to become a Lutheran pastor. He's been, say, a Baptist pastor, but he wants to become a Lutheran pastor. Is that possible? How does it work? Joining us to answer that question, Pastor Herb Miller. He's first vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Herb, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing pretty well. Let's say a Baptist pastor comes to you. He says, Herb, I've been a Baptist pastor for 20 years, but I've been studying Lutheran theology. I'm firmly convinced that I believe what Lutherans believe. I'm ready to be a Lutheran pastor. Why not just take his word for it?
Because it takes a long time to learn how to think like a Lutheran pastor. You know, what you describe, a Baptist pastor coming into the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and beginning to serve in the Missouri Synod is possible, but it's not easy and it's not quick. The Synod has had a colloquy program from its very beginning, recognizing that there are qualified men elsewhere who see our confession and want to be part of it. The colloquy program is a means by which the Synod assures itself that these men truly do know the Scriptures and the Lutheran confessions, and that they think and act like Lutheran pastors. There is an extensive application process in which we make sure the man is qualified. There's an interview process that may be repeated more than once, depending on the need. In the case of, I can think of specific cases that we've had of Baptist pastors, for instance, coming. There's one case in particular right now where we've interviewed the guy twice, and he's close, but he's not there yet, and we're requiring that he take seminary-level courses in Lutheran doctrine, and you know we'll see how that goes. The colloquy interview is designed to have a conversation with the man to talk about what he believes, teaches, and confesses, and what he does as a pastor. And what we're looking for most of the time is, does this man have a heart of a Lutheran pastor? In other words, does he see all of theology as designed to bring the greatest possible comfort to the penitent sinner, and that's the heart and core of who we are as Lutheran Christians. You know, one of the things we do in the conversation is, you know, we'll ask all sorts of follow-up questions. It's not a standardized test, but it's a conversation that follows up on various things that individual says. There have been a number of times when someone has had the Lutheran vocabulary, but then you press on him, and he reverts to a different theology. You know, and then there's remedial work and another interview, and it just depends on what the colloquy committee sees in the individual and in his application. Most of the time, if a Baptist pastor wants to come into the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, it's a process that takes at least 9 months and usually 18 or 24 months.
How much of it is, you mentioned that the highest priority being that they actually are Lutheran, that they not only have a commitment to Holy Scripture and an unqualified commitment to the Lutheran confessions, and that they think this way, that this is not just something they know, but kind of their manner of doing theology, so to speak, in their practice. But how much of it is also simple, the other kind of nuts and bolts qualification, Herb, in terms of, you know, maybe they went to a cut-rate seminary and got their MDiv before they showed up at your door?
Well, one of the requirements is that you have to have an MDiv from an accredited seminary. And we ask, they have to give us their transcripts. And so we look at the courses that they've taken. And in the case of, say, someone gets an MDiv, I'll use this as an example. Got a fellow who got an MDiv from a Baptist seminary, and we looked at his transcript and said, okay, you need to spend a year at one of our seminaries taking these courses, because while you've got some of these professional type courses here, you don't have anything Lutheran that embodies this Lutheran way of thinking. So quite often, if a Baptist is coming in, he's going to have remedial work and courses that are required, plus a vicarage in a Lutheran church, like an internship in a Missouri Synod congregation, under the tutelage of a Missouri Synod pastor with specific assignments made for study.
Pastor Herb Miller is our guest. We'll take a break, and when we come back on this Friday afternoon, we'll continue our conversation with him on how a non-Lutheran pastor becomes a Lutheran pastor. What kind of questions do you have on this subject? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. You can send us an email as well right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Where do we find Jesus in the book of Job? I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Job in 4 Not-So-Easy Steps. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. Pastor Ross Johnson has written our Wittenberg Trail feature. It's titled Lutheranism, Christianity's Best Kept Secret, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
This is Pastor Tyler Arnold at Christ Lutheran in Platte Woods, Kansas City, Missouri. We are privileged to serve our Lord in word and sacrament through the historic liturgies of the church. Do join us for divine service at 8 and 10:45 and adult Bible study and Sunday school at 9:30. Each Wednesday evening, we have Vespers at 7 p.m. Our address is 6700 Northwest 72nd Street, or call us at 816-741-0483. You can find us on the web at christlc.net. Come and be our guest at and with Christ.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. On Demand audio available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. Issuesetc.org and click Listen On Demand.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to learn about the Reformation theology you hear on Issues Etc.? We'll send you a pamphlet of Luther's Small Catechism for free. It contains the biblical teachings on the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and confession and absolution. Order your free copy of Luther's Small Catechism today. Just send your name and mailing address to talkback at issuesetc.org.
For 20 years, we've lifted our voices and instruments to the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Now, CPH has the first ever CD collection of Pastor Starkey's works titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. This 12-track CD includes nearly an hour of music from the most beloved Lutheran hymn writer of our time. Order now. Use promotion code URA. We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God is only $15.99. CPH.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Friday afternoon, March the 7th, we're talking about how a non-Lutheran pastor becomes a Lutheran pastor. Pastor Herb Miller is our guest, first vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Herb, just in terms of sheer numbers, how many a year would you say men come through the process of colloquizing, so to speak, to go from being non-Lutheran clergy to being a Lutheran pastor?
Well, I can give you totals right now. At any given time, we have about 25 men at one point or another in the process. By the way, I should say, as first vice president, I am chairman of the colloquy committee, so I'm in charge of this process, and was actually at home today working on correspondence for the process. It's a big piece of it. In the last couple of years, we've had at any given time about 25 men at one place or another in the process. But in each of the past 2 years, 2012 and 2013, we've certified for call and placement in the Synod 19 each year. That means on average of that 25, probably 20% of them wash out. And that doesn't count the ones that the applications we receive that we decline up front because of some issue or group of issues in the application. So it's not a process where it's y'all come, but it's a very careful, prayerful, and deliberate process. Is it perfect? No, I'm working on making it better. I know one of the issues we're looking at right now, and just in the last 2 or 3 years, we've seen a small uptick in young men who are members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod who, smart young men, and they decide, I don't want to travel all the way to Fort Wayne or St. Louis to get my MDiv. I'll just get an MDiv at the local evangelical seminary here, and then I'll apply for colloquy. The bylaws of the Synod that have to do with colloquy allow for a man with an accredited MDiv who's been a member of a Missouri Synod parish for at least 2 years to apply for colloquy. We've had some discussions with the seminaries in order to close that up a little bit, and there'll probably be a proposal coming to the 2016 convention of the Synod regarding that. As right now, I can think of four individuals who were lifelong Missouri Synod young men who got their Master of Divinity from an evangelical school close to home and then applied for colloquy. What they found out is that we're not going to just take them right in, but they have to do a Missouri Synod vicarage. They have to do a course of study in Lutheran doctrine, often will require them to take seminary-level courses in Lutheran doctrine, because, again, they might have a high school or college-level understanding of Lutheran teaching, but a pastor needs more than that, needs to have a solid and deep understanding of the Scriptures and the Confession so that he's able to apply it faithfully in the lives of his people. And so if anybody out there is thinking about, hey, this could be a shortcut, it's not. The people who have, and because they've had a right to apply the way the bylaws are written, but the colloquy committee has is working with them and saying, you know, but you don't have what, even though you've got this accredited MDiv, you don't yet have what you need to be a Lutheran pastor, and our job is to make sure that that you can do that. And right now, again, we're examining how that all works and how we can do a better job.
You mentioned membership in a Lutheran parish for a certain amount of time. Is that the beginning of the process, so to speak, even before application, that a man who says, look, I am a Lutheran, I want to be a Lutheran pastor, that they actually join a Lutheran congregation?
There are three categories for colloquy. Category one is a man who's an active pastor of a congregation in another denomination who's interested in coming into the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and hopefully bringing his congregation along with him. We've had a handful of both Wisconsin Synod and ELCA pastors and their congregations seek this out. So that's one category. A second category is a pastor who has been an active pastor or has an accredited MDiv from another institution and has been a member of a Missouri Synod congregation for at least 2 years. He can apply for colloquy. And the third piece is licensed lay deacons, but that's a whole other issue that, you know, I don't know if we want to open that can of worms today.
Oh, I'd love to open that can of worms, but we're not going to.
Yeah, right. Well, we have another. Right now, we have a couple of groups taking some good hard looks at all of the non-MDiv routes to ordination in the Missouri Synod. Colloquy is one of them, and SMP and other factors are included there. And we also have a group that's looking into the licensed lay deacon question and to develop a plan for that. And I ended up on both of those task forces. I don't know exactly how that happened, but that's a different part of life. As far as colloquy is concerned, it's a very individualized kind of situation because we have individuals from all over. They come from all over the world, too. Sometimes they're solid Lutherans from elsewhere. So it's not just evangelicals that come. Like recently, we had a Roman Catholic who's just about finished, a Anglican, Presbyterian, Wisconsin Synod Lutheran, ELCA Lutheran, and let's see, people from, I had several from Ethiopia, the Lutheran Church in Ethiopia. Got our Lutheran from Madagascar, an Anglican from South India, all coming to this country. And the program becomes very individualized for each one, but the goal is, does this man think and act like a Lutheran pastor?
Now, once they are colloquized, once they are, how does that work? The colloquy committee says, all right, finally, yes, indeed, we are willing to recommend you. What happens to him next?
Well, what happens next is that the colloquy committee certifies them for placement. And then they are like a fourth-year seminary student who has not yet received a call. The district president who sponsored them, that's another thing, all applications arise out of the districts and have to have the enthusiastic sponsorship of the district president. And then the district president who sponsored the guy may have a place for him if he's bringing a congregation with him. We coordinate that so that the congregation comes into the synod at the same time as the pastor. But ultimately, the district president seeks out a call for the man, and then the council of presidents places the man in that call, just as the council of presidents places fourth-year seminary graduates in their first calls.
And he is from that point on a full-blown, fully-fledged
Lutheran
pastor.
From that point on, he's a Lutheran pastor as a member of the Synod. And it's been that way since 1847.
It's not a foolproof process, Herb. What do you think needs to improve? I mean, you said you're trying to improve. The short list of what needs to improve.
I think we need to tighten up the requirement regarding these young men who are members of the Missouri Synod, who could go to a Missouri Synod and should go to a Missouri Synod seminary, who think, okay, this is an easy route. Maybe it's cheaper to stay home and so forth. No, we're that's one piece. Another piece is that while the process right now gives us good information, there's always more information that we can have. And I'm looking for, we have an extensive application process in preparing an application package, but I'm looking for ways to beef that up so that we know more about the individual before we even invite him in for the colloquy conversation.
With only about a minute here, Herb, someone is thinking about this. And this happens. We hear from clergymen of other confessions on a regular basis, and they just don't even know where to begin. They're like, wow, I love your theology. I think I actually believe what you believe. I'm a pastor. This is going to be hard. I might have to quit my job to do this. I might have to go into lay work for a while in order to do this. Where would they begin?
Well, the best place to begin, if they know the district president of the district in which they live, to contact him. If they don't, or if they want to contact me, they can send me an email at herb.mueller@lcms.org. And I just answered two emails like that today, both pastors right now in the ELCA who are disaffected from that theology and are saying that they're in agreement with our theology, and they want to begin the process of discerning where they might fit in and what it means to be a pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, fully committed without reservation to the Scriptures and the Lutheran Confessions as the correct exposition of Scripture. And it's a very careful, prayerful, and deliberate process that we go through, and it will, it will take some time. We don't just transfer them in.
Pastor Herb Miller is first vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Herb, thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome, Todd. Glad to be of help.
I know a place where men are training right now, not just the training in the classroom, which is very important, but also the training of life, where they are intent upon not just educating, but also forming pastors for faithful service in Lutheran congregations, fully committed to Holy Scripture and the Lutheran Confessions. It's Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. If you're one of those people, you're a pastor, or if you're a layperson, you say, this might be for me, and you're considering it, they have an opportunity for you called Prayerfully Consider. They hold it right there on their campus in Fort Wayne, March the 20th through the 22nd at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. You can find out more about Prayerfully Consider by giving them a call, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit them on the web, ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu. When we come back, it's time for listener email and for the Issues Etc. comment line. In fact, I think we'll start with a comment and a question on baptism when we come back on this Friday afternoon, March the 7th.
I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things, the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us, broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The CLCC Spring Conference, Building Up the Body of Christ, is April 29th and 30th in Bloomington, Minnesota. Join us, won't you, with Pastors Jonathan Fisk, David Kind, and Rob Jarvis, and explore ideas for engaging youth and younger adults to become more involved in the life of the church. We hope you can be there with us. All the conference details are at theclcc.org. Building Up the Body of Christ. April 29th and 30th in Bloomington, Minnesota. Get registered today at theclcc.org.
Are you looking for a Lutheran elementary school that uses the principles of classical education? A school where students enjoy a solid and Christ-centered academic environment, including classes such as Latin, world history, and classical literature? Trinity St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel and Warden, Illinois is the school for your student. We're located just 30 miles northeast of St. Louis, tsplutheranschool.org or 618-633-2202.